Scripture reading this morning is from Galatians 3:26-27. It says, "For ye are all of the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
Thank you, Brother John, for reading our scripture for us today. That will be the basis upon which we build our lesson together here over the next few moments. I want to begin by expressing our collective gratitude for those of you who are visiting with us today. We hope you feel comfortable here. Any questions you have about the church here, we'd be more than happy to strive to answer. In that regard, as we are studying from the book of Revelation each Sunday morning in Sunday school at 10 o'clock, if you have any question that you'd like for us to deal with, I know sometimes we get things going such a fast pace, doesn't seem like you can fit in any questions. So if you have a question, if you would write it down for me, I'd be more than happy to address that in class. So please feel comfortable in writing down any question or interest you have, comments you'd like to make about our study of the book of Revelation, and get that to me. And if it's, of course, fitting, I'll place it in within our study in Sunday school. But I appreciate the interest level of our study of the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, on each Sunday morning. Also, I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to Charles Gilbert and David Byrd for speaking on Wednesday night. It was needful for me to be out in Kansas for 3 days, and I'm glad to be back home, and I'm glad to know that we have men who can step up and teach the class and give the invitation, and I appreciate very much you men for doing that. I think the congregation, upon hearing you, will encourage me to take more trips out of town. But I really appreciate you handling that for us. Again, if you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest. I appreciate the Wilson family who's been here last Sunday and this Sunday, and they receive House to House, Heart to Heart. And we were talking about that earlier. We send that to everyone in the community, inviting folks to come and to investigate the teaching of the Bible and as it relates to the Lord's church. And I appreciate your favorable comments in that regard. We're happy to supply that. I do get to write on the back page of that. That's the page that they designate for us specifically. And so I'm proud to get to use that there. So if you have any questions about the church, we'd be more than happy to discuss that with you at any time. Well, in our study today, as you see from our text, where Paul is writing, he is in this section talking about a group of people who had formerly been Jewish people. And now then, they're members of the church. In fact, he is writing to the churches of Galatia in the first verses of this book. And there's a great difference. They left a religion and they were now members of a religion. What is the difference? Why did they leave the one to become members of the other? What do they have as a result of that transition? Well, he is telling them that now they are in Christ. And he specifically states to them in this text that being in Christ means they have put on Christ. And as a result of that, they have the blessings that Christ intended to give the world. And of course, the whole book itself is interesting to study, and this section is interesting. These verses, again, to emphasize, say, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." One of the things I like about this verse is it's very plain. We can rest assured that to be in Christ means there are many blessings, and that's going to be really the body of our lesson today. But what I like about this verse at the very beginning is it tells us how to get there. How do we get where all those blessings are? Well, it's obviously coupled with faith, but it's not faith alone. As many of you by faith in Christ, you're children of God by faith in Christ, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There are a lot of verses in the Bible about faith. There are only 3 in the New Testament that tell us how to get into Christ. And it's interesting to me that those 3 that tell us how we get into Christ, of the 3, this is one, have it connected with baptism. Just like this one. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, those are just the facts of the matter. For us to be in Christ where His blessings are, we must be baptized into Christ. Now, I want to break that down just a little bit. I don't want to spend too much time here because we've got several slides to look at concerning the specifics of what it means to be in Christ. But I don't want to miss this main point. We are either in Christ or we are outside of Christ. Every accountable person is either in Christ or outside of Christ. Now, there are a lot of people who know that they're outside of Christ. They go to bed at night with a guilty conscience for the lifestyle that they live, for deeds that they've done, for words that they've stated. They go to bed at night guilty because of past lifestyle concerning which maybe they're embarrassed or maybe which they're proud. But they know they're outside of Christ. This is how you get into Christ. When you obey the gospel and you're baptized into Christ. Now again, not everyone baptizes people like the Bible says right here. There are some who think they are in Christ when they're not. They think they're where all these blessings we're going to be talking about reside, and that they're in Christ, but they were never baptized into Christ. You know, there are folks who baptize just as an outward sign of an inward grace. The Bible doesn't teach such a thing. There are those who are sprinkled instead of being baptized. The word baptism is not translated. It means immersion. To dip, plunge, or immerse is what it means. Our English Bible, the King James Bible, has baptized. And that word means immersion. There are a lot of people who think they're in Christ, and guess what? They've never been immersed. This verse says, as many of you have been baptized, baptizo is the Greek word, been baptized. Whatever that word is, you've got to do that to get into Christ. What is that word? It is to dip, plunge, or immerse. The element is water, John 3:5. Also, Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Well, baptized in water. That's how you get there. There are a lot of people who think they're in Christ when they've been sprinkled or had water poured on them and they've not been baptized. That concerns me. I think that we need to know the meaning of this word and how to get into Christ, because that's why Christ came. He wants every person to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what the church is about. The declaration of that saving message in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. And he's long-suffering and doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. So there are some then who think they're in Christ. When this passage being true and from God, they're really not in Christ. They've been led to believe that all you have to do is believe. There are those religious traditions that say baptism's not essential. And folks will even say you don't have to be baptized to be saved. No, none of my family were. None of my family, me and my wife's family, none of us were, they may say. We didn't think we had to be baptized to be saved. Well, what does the Bible say? Set aside your family tradition here for a minute and look at what the Bible says. Who are those who are in Christ? Who has put on Christ? Those who've been baptized, immersed into Christ, are the ones who put on Christ. We just have to be honest with that. And if it hurts somebody's feelings, I don't even intend to apologize, because this is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Lord wants. If anybody needs to apologize, it's those who teach you don't have to be baptized to be saved, or sprinkling is good as immersion, or pouring water on somebody's as good as immersion, or you just only believe and get into Christ. They're the ones who need to do the apologizing, not me. This is what the Bible says about it. You've got it here in black and white, or green and white, as the case may be. Well, the title of our lesson then is to explore this question: are you in Christ? And really what the lesson is motivation for us to be in Christ. Before we get through with today's lesson, we'll wrap it up here in about 25 minutes. We want everybody to have a driving desire to be in Christ. And I want to tell you, since it's baptism into Christ, we have all of the peripherals associated with that available to you right here today, right now. We have a nice baptistry behind here. This screen lets up. You see a curtain that's pulled. When a person gets in there, there's places to change clothing. You don't even have to worry about going home in wet clothes. You can if you want to. You may do that anyway, the way it's been raining. But you can change clothes there. There's a facility for the women, a facility for the men. There's a baptistry here with plenty of water. The men take care of it. And you can be baptized into Christ today. That's what the invitation at the end of the lesson is going to be about. And an opportunity for you to come. You say, well, all those people, though, and we don't care if we stay here all afternoon. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized. Nobody said, man, I'm missing my fried chicken. No, they were all interested in hearing people, seeing people obey the gospel. That's what we're interested in right here today. So I don't want you to hear all these great things and think, well, I wish I could have that. Like window shopping at Rodeo Drive or somewhere, or window shopping at a new car dealership. Man, I wish I could have that nice ride. You can have what we're talking about today right here, right now, today. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we're not talking about pie in the sky or something out there off somewhere. We're talking about right here, right now, today. If you can understand what I'm talking about from the Bible, and this being the Word of God, you can leave here today. If you're outside of Christ, you can leave here in Christ. That's a marvelous notion. There are those who've done that over the years, came in the church building outside of Christ, obeyed the gospel, baptized into Christ, left here in Christ and in His church. What a wonderful thought. That's what can happen even today. So let's take notice of all of the things that are in Christ. In the first place, let's get all the words positioned up here, let's notice that the faith is in Christ. In the New Testament, sometimes you just have the word faith by itself, and then sometimes it's preceded by the definite article, the faith. And anytime you see that in the New Testament, the reference is being made not to subjective faith, that is, my faith, but to the system of faith, the gospel system, the New Testament teaching. The faith is in Christ. Acts 24:24 reads, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." The faith, that system of faith, which benefits those that are in Christ. Now, of course, there is a story behind this with Felix and Drusilla that has to be reserved for its own lesson. It's a marvelous teaching here in Acts chapter 24 as Paul strives to persuade Felix and Drusilla to obey the gospel. But just for now, we have to focus in on the subject for our discussion, and that is what it means to be in Christ and are you in Christ, by looking at the statement made that the faith is in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're where the faith is, that system of doctrine or teaching that helps us stay out of the world and helps us stay faithful to Christ. The faith in Christ. There he is declaring it. We must be obedient to the faith. The word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. See, the faith, that system of faith. How are you obedient to the faith? Again, I think many religious people only think of faith in the subjective sense, my faith. But the New Testament here, in these two passages we've set before you already, Acts 24:24 and 6:7, tell us about the faith, a system of doctrine, a system of teaching. How do you obey the faith? Well, it tells you what to do. It tells you things that you must do. We must believe in Christ. For example, that's John 8:24. We must repent of sins, Luke 13:3. We must confess Christ, Matthew 10:32 tells us that. And we must be baptized into Christ. Well, we've seen that already in Galatians 3:26-27. That's how these people were obedient to the faith. They heard the gospel, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed faith in Christ and were baptized. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. In other words, they did what the faith said to do. That's how they were obedient. Also, in Romans 1:5, we learn, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for His name." Again, you've got that phrase, the faith, that system of faith. The book of Romans is presented so that we can see that system of faith and obey it and urge others to obey it. Everybody here that's a member of the Lord's church has obeyed the faith. We've all heard the gospel, believed it, repented of sins, confessed faith in Christ, and been baptized. What I was telling you a minute ago about going back and changing into clothing that's back there and getting into the water and being baptized, all of us who are members of the church have done that at one point or another. We have obeyed the gospel, and the Lord has added us to His church. We are to be established in the faith. That's this system of teaching. That's why it requires reading and studying. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. You notice when you read the New Testament, we read about the faith, not a faith. Today you hear about a faith. You know, just you'll see it on a billboard. Join the church of your choice. Someone may ask you, "Oh, what faith are you a member of?" There are many different faiths, but in the New Testament, we always read of the faith, just one. And that certainly corresponds to our Lord's prayer for that kind of unity in John 17. And the apostles writing about it, like in Ephesians chapter 4, where there's one body, there's one faith. There's one baptism. So the New Testament teaches the faith. That's what the Church of Christ is about. We're not about many faiths or joining the church of your faith, or we're just another faith. We are about the faith. By going back to the New Testament, we can learn the faith and be obedient to the gospel and be what these people were. Christians, simply and only. That's all we are. It's what they were. Members of the church you can read about in the Bible. I have a friend, and he's a member of a checker club. A bunch of guys sit around and play checkers. Don't ever get in with these guys. I'm telling you what, they will wear you out at checkers. I wouldn't even go down to their club where they used to have that. That's all they do is sit around, talk, and play checkers. And they get to know one another. Well, they meet new people. Well, he told me one day this fellow was there, and he was religious, and so he wanted to ask him a question to kind of engage him in a religious discussion. And he said to him, "Are you a member of the Church of the Bible?" And the fellow honestly answered, "I didn't even know there was a church in the Bible." Well, after that, he began to explore, and I was privileged to baptize that man into Christ myself. Some people don't even know that there's a church in the Bible. You mean there's a church in the Bible? Well, it can't be organized because we have all these other books that help organize the church, right? There is a named, fully organized church right here in the Bible. Terms of membership, mission and purpose, activities within it, the designations, the organization of it, all right here. There is a church in the Bible. And another way to say that is, there is a system of faith, the faith. And we can be established in the faith. We don't need the discipline, the manual, the catechism, etc. We don't need that. We are thoroughly furnished to every good work right here with this book I hold before you, the Bible. And the Christians are being commended here. The churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. You know, if people are teaching something different from the Bible, would you say they are established in the faith? Probably not. If practices and activities are going on and they're calling it church, but it's not from the Bible, they're not established in the faith. They may have a well and long established practice, but that doesn't mean it is the faith. If you're established in the faith, you read about it here in the faith. The system of faith we're teaching, the gospel system, the New Testament. So the churches are being commended for being established in the faith. That's what we really want to do. That's a goal we have in the Church of Christ, is to be established in the faith, to be doing just what the Bible teaches, that and only that, not adding to it or taking away from it, like those prohibitions that appear in the Bible. For example, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, you don't add or take away from this with the favor of God. No, you receive the disfavor of God if you amend His Word. So we want to do just what's here. That's why our service is like it is, where we've had singing and we've offered prayers before the throne of God. We've had scripture reading. We've observed the Lord's Supper. We've given of our means, and now we're listening to preaching. Those are the five avenues of adoration to the Almighty. Five and only five. We don't have dancing girls up here. There are some churches you can go to. I saw pictures in the paper of dancing girls coming down the aisle. Well, why don't you have dancing girls? It's not authorized. It's not in the faith. Men added it. I guess somebody got tired of the same old service, so they wanted dancing girls. They got dancing girls now in some churches. Are you established in the faith if you've got something outside the New Testament? No, you're not. And you're responsible for modifying what He put in the faith. Another thought is, we must continue in the faith. See, now this is a very important point, because you think, well, yeah, that's the way that it was in the first century. I will agree to that. But man, that's been 2,000 years ago. A lot has happened since then. There have been some smart men to pop up since then. Boniface III, Martin Luther, King Henry IV, all those people. Well, there have been a lot has happened since then. Was it ever intended that we should be established in the faith and continue in the faith? Yes. Here in Acts 14:22, we learn that the apostles were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So not only was it intended to start things out in the first century, but people were expected to continue in the faith. Did you notice where we are in the book of Acts? The gospel was to go to Jerusalem and Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Well, in Acts here, we're in chapter 14, you notice. The church had been established in Jerusalem and in Judea. It had gone to Samaria, Acts chapters 8 to chapter 12. Now in chapter 13 and 14, you're on the first missionary journey, and a number of years had passed since the church originally was established in Acts chapter 2. And yet they were exhorted to continue in the faith. The faith didn't change over that time or over that geographical period or geographical presence. They were to continue in this faith. And whether it was 10 years or 2,000 years, we are exhorted by the Word of God to continue in the faith. That's why we hold the position we do in churches of Christ, that we go by what the Bible says. We're continuing in the faith just as admonished to do so by our Lord and His apostles. Also, in the first chapter of Colossians, in verse 23, Paul says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So here he specifically says, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. You notice the terms that are interchangeable is the faith on the first line and the gospel on the third line. They're interchangeable. The faith, I told you already, is a way of referring to the gospel, that system of teaching in the Bible. Don't be moved away from it. That's why we don't have any auxiliary writings associated with the Bible. We have the Bible as our standard of authority alone. You know, I write a bulletin article, or I've edited several lectureship books where you've put into print sermons that have been written. But these are printed material that was spoken. This is not legislation in addition to the Word of God, any more than my preaching now adds to the Word of God. This is a continuation of what we have. But there are those who have amended the Bible and added various books that organize the church. That's why you have so many different names in religion out here. People have come up with those across the years. To do so is not to continue in the faith, it is to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. It was preached to every creature under heaven. That's the way the Lord intended it. So we want to continue in the faith. So we must be obedient to the faith, we must be established in the faith, and we must continue in the faith. Another passage of Scripture that motivates us to want to be in Christ if we're not is that to notice that redemption is in Christ. You know what redemption is? It's to buy back. We have been sold into sin because of our actions, and now then we have to be bought back out of sin. We can't pay the price ourselves. Jesus paid it all. And because of His sacrifice on Calvary, He has made the way to buy us back out of sin. It comes at the price of His shed blood. That's what redemption is about, being redeemed or bought back with the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 19 discusses that in pretty good detail. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 3:24. How do I know when I've been redeemed? I understand that the blood of Christ is the purchase price, but how do I know when that's mine? When I have access to that? When I've come out of sin? When I'm in Christ? When I'm in Christ, I've been redeemed. When am I in Christ? When I'm baptized into Christ. Well, I just want to believe to get there. You don't get there that way. You're baptized into Christ. That's when you put on Christ. That's when redemption is yours. That's why the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 38, when the believing multitude who had murdered the Son of God cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" that Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation." Then they, watch this, that gladly received their word were baptized. They were baptized for remission of sins. They were in Christ. They were redeemed. It was that way from the beginning. It's that way today. Redemption is in Christ. Life, spiritual life, is in Christ. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that's another expanded way to refer to the faith or the gospel, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Life is in Christ. Also, the love of God is in Christ. Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody says, "Well, I've never been baptized, but I love God." Well, you may after a fashion. But when we talk about biblical love of God, friends, that's in Christ. You see it there in Romans 8 in verse 39. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is how God reciprocates His love for us and we for Him, by being in Him. Receiving the merits of His shed blood, being in Christ, where all of His spiritual blessings are. The truth is in Christ. Romans 9 and 1, Paul writes, I say the truth in Christ. And we've been talking about the faith, the gospel, the law of the Spirit of life. Here, the truth. We're talking about this system of belief, the New Testament teaching. For folks who just want to say, well, I'm just going to live like I want to live, and if I think I'm okay, I won't be cussing or killing anybody, and I think God will just send me straight on to heaven, and that's good enough. What about the faith, the system of teaching? What about the gospel? What about the law of the Spirit of life? What about the truth? Well, I don't think I need any of that. You're not going to get to heaven and you don't know the truth. Truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Romans 9, verse 1. So we've got a system here to follow and to obey. And the truth is in Christ. What do you have outside of Christ? You don't have the truth. You cannot claim the truth as yours and you outside of Christ. You can know the truth. And you can come to obey the gospel. But if you're willing to stay outside of Christ, you don't have the truth. That's why these people are in error who want to say, I'll just get to heaven on my good looks. I couldn't get across the room on my looks, much less into heaven. Nor can you, if you'd be honest about it. You ain't going to get to heaven on any merits of your own. It takes the truth that is in Christ to get there. Paul writes also in 1 Timothy 2:7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, or truthfulness. Where is truth? It's in Christ. You see what I want? I want to know truth from error, right from wrong. Where do I know that? Where am I participating in that when I'm in Christ? I'm where I need to be to know the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what is truth? Is it just things that are true versus those that are false? Jesus said in the preceding verse, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we've got the word of God, we've got the faith, we've got the hope of the gospel, we've got the law of the Spirit of life, we've got the truth, the word of God. And being in that word is where we are when we are in Christ. We have the blessings of these things. So the truth is in Christ. You know the one body is in Christ, Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body. He's talking not about churches, various churches. He's talking about individuals. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That's that one body that we mentioned earlier in Ephesians 4:5. There is one body, and that one body is in Christ. Somebody says, well, I'm not a member of one body, I'm a member of many bodies. No. Or somebody wants to say, well, you know, I think all of these different bodies out here are that one body. They may be called by various names and have different forms of organization, terms of membership, and missions, and so forth. But I think all of them collectively can just be grouped together and be that one body in Christ. That'd be nice, except for one thing. Over here, you've got the faith, the truth, the Word of God, the law of the Spirit of life, the hope of the gospel. And if you can't find in this grouping, this conglomeration of people, the truth from the Word of God, you don't have that one body. If that church is called something not found in the Bible, it's not in the truth. If the terms of membership, we'll accept you on your faith alone, that's not what the Bible says. You're not in the one body. The one body is in the truth, and the truth is in the one body. And we want to be in that one body. When we're baptized into Christ, I mentioned there are three verses that tell us how to get into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, and bond nor free. We are all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Everyone who has obeyed the same gospel is baptized into the same body. Not sprinkled or poured, not salvation by faith only, but baptized into Christ, baptized into that one body. That one body is in Christ, where all these spiritual blessings are. The one body in Christ. Sanctification is in Christ. What is sanctification? It's to set apart as holy. That's what each of us did when we came here today. We said, we're going to go to the worship of the church. We're going to set aside this hour as holy. And we're going to come and we're going to think about spiritual things like God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the church, the Bible, fellowship in Christ, the books of the Bible, the messages that are contained within the Bible that point to the one gospel, the one hope of eternal life. We're going to set this time aside for God. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification of life is what we are when we are Christians. We're setting ourselves apart as holy. 1 Corinthians 1:2 declares, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." Where is sanctification? It's in Christ. You can't be set apart as holy outside of Christ. You need to be baptized into Christ to be sanctified. Very important point. Wisdom is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." Wisdom is in Christ Jesus. Wise in Christ. Hope is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19, "For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Where is hope? Hope is earnest expectation, and we are saved by it. Romans 8:24. That hope is in Christ. You mean to say, let's just test what we've been talking about. Hope is in Christ, that outside of Christ there's no hope? You mean if you're not in Christ, there's no hope and you're outside of Christ? Is that what the things you've been talking about point to? Is that what you want to conclude? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, if you'll look in the book of Ephesians, you'll see the answer to that question in Ephesians chapter 2. As Paul writes to folks, he will state to them in verse 12, that in time past ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Friends, what I'm telling you, hope is in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you don't have any hope. Ephesians 2:12 has declared that. No hope to those outside of Christ. Those are forlorn words. Forlorn words. Hope. No hope. Person checks into the doctor and he says, "You got to go to the hospital. We've got to rush you right down there." And he comes back out and tells the family, "There's no hope. No hope." You think about a vast eternity facing you out there and you're outside of Christ with no hope. You don't want that thought. Hope is in Christ. If I want to hope that I can be with God and hope that I can be in a land fairer than day, hope that I have an opportunity to live with the redeemed in a place without sin and separation and suffering, if I want hope, it is found uniquely in Christ Jesus. Don't let somebody tell you that you can believe and not be baptized, or that you can be sprinkled or have water poured on you and still be in Christ. Hope is in Christ, and you only get there by obeying the faith. Triumph is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." You want to triumph? You want to enjoy victory over the world? Get in Christ and stay there. Triumphing over the world is in Christ. Simplicity is in Christ. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Notice it's not simplistic now, but it is simplicity. I've given the gospel plan of salvation in 5 steps of faith, Romans 4 and verse 12, because it is simple. But it is not simplistic. An illustration that stands out in my mind is that we've seen recently of people being trapped in a mine and an elevator being let down thousands of feet below the face of the earth to get them out. That's simple. You know all it is? All it is a basket with a wire and a pulley at the top. It's simple, isn't it? Oh, it's simple, but it's not simplistic. There have been times when such shafts have been sunk into the earth and men have lost their lives getting down to others. A price was paid. Oh, it's simple, but it's not simplistic. The gospel is simple, but it's not simplistic. It caused Jesus Christ to suffer, bleed, and die on Calvary's cross to make it available. It's not simplistic, but it is simple. I can tell you the gospel plan of salvation, and as I mentioned a minute ago, you can be baptized and leave in Christ here today before we conclude this service. Simplicity is in Christ. Liberty is in Christ, Galatians 2:4, "and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us unto bondage." We have liberty in Christ. Liberty and freedom from sin. Unity is in Christ. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." That is unity. Where is unity? It's in Christ. Well, how to get there? Being baptized into Christ. If you want unity in religion today, you're going to have to be baptized into Christ. You can't say you don't have to be baptized to be saved and want unity. Because the unity of the Bible involves being in Christ, and the way you get there, according to our text, is baptism into Christ. That's where unity is. And for that, Jesus prayed. All the faithful are in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he writes in Ephesians 1:1, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's where the faithful are. If you're outside of Christ, you're not faithful to God. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. Ephesians 1 in verse 3. All spiritual blessings. If we missed any, that got them all. All things are in Christ. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So the things that we're talking about today out of the Bible are really central in the mind of God and focused. Being in Christ is where all the fullness is, the dispensation of the fullness of times. He's gathered together in one all things in Christ. There's not anything outside of Christ that is going to bless someone spiritually with eternal salvation. You've got to be in Christ for that to occur. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He expects us to be active in His service. His promises are in Christ, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. You know, the significance of this verse in addition to this is that you've got Jews and Gentiles. You're either a Jew or a Gentile, and you'll have the same body having Jews and Gentiles in it. You don't have one body for the Jews, another body for the Gentiles. That's the mentality of people today. If I want to think certain things religiously, I'll just join a body that thinks like I do. Well, if they'd have that, you'd have a church for the Jews, you'd have a church for the Gentiles. But in the Bible, you have fellow heirs, Jews and Gentiles, in the same body. And that's the promise. And that promise runs deep, friends, all the way back in the Old Testament to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Also, His eternal purpose is in Christ, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not an afterthought on the part of God. It is a design, a purpose, an eternal purpose to have the church and to have everyone in Christ in it. Saints are in Christ. Philippians 1:1, that book begins, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Saints are in Christ. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus with the brethren. Consolation is in Christ. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, consolation is in Christ. You want to be consoled? Get in Christ. The rejoicing is in Christ, Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoicing is in Christ. The prize is in Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. Faith and love are in Christ. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Grace is in Christ. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Where is it? That is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:1. Salvation is in Christ. I therefore endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So we're talking about being in Christ. You're talking about saved or lost. If I'm saved, where am I? I'm in Christ. If I'm outside of Christ, where am I? I am lost. And the Bible is clear to tell us that salvation is in Christ. How do I get there? By being baptized into Christ. And then we close with the same question with which we began. Are you in Christ? I've given you really more reasons than we can keep track of to be in Christ. More blessings. To sum it up, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. But our final question doesn't deal with that now. It comes home and asks you, are you in Christ? You're asked now to make a personal investigation and answer the question, am I in Christ or am I outside of Christ? The Lord wants you in Christ. He has issued a written invitation to you. Christians have answered it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We're not answering the invitation that just emanated or designed from the church here at Tiftonia. We're answering a written invitation from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who invited us to come to Him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That invitation is yours today. Friends, if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to get into Christ. How do I do that? By being baptized into Christ. If you believe in Christ, John 3:16, you'll repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, and confess the name of Christ, Matthew 10:32, you can be baptized into Christ and put on Christ right now. Remember what I talked about a minute ago? Oh, there's fried chicken probably sizzling in a skillet somewhere, and we all hope to get some of that, but that's not our interest right now. Our interest is whether or not you want to obey the gospel. And if you do, we'll sit here all evening. That chicken is just as good cold as it is hot. And we'll be very happy to see you baptized into Christ. And we stand ready to assist you as together we stand and sing God's praises.